This is Radio Hope and the Reader. My name is John Black, and it has been a long and crappy week so far. So the entire ship got put under a quarantine, and we found this out when the doors wouldn't open up and we had a series of pneumatic tubes that opened up apparently just for emergencies like this. And that is how we get food, which is disturbing. You get a cup of vitamin fortified milk and a bowl of cereals, and you get those every 8 hours. The milk was like cream if you poured pixie sticks into it, and also dirt. It's not good. And the cereals, and I use that term lightly, were like baked vegetables, fruits and meat products, and grains. It's like meat, fruit, vegetable, mineral, animal kicks. And, I mean, if this is what it takes to keep it alive, I think we would rather risk whatever is outside. Sorry if this is a bit food porny, but the first thing that I did when I got out of that room was I ran and got some real food. So, I mean, after standard alarm quarantine, we have the pneumatic tubes come in, and from the guys who I talked to so far, we have no idea what actually happened or what caused it. I mean, the doors that had been locked just opened again. And for the entire time that they were locked, we had no contact, no internet, and that made things tough. I mean, I actually got a job offer working from my room translating stuff. And, I mean, that is excellent for me, but if I'm supposed to translate manga and stuff for Yosai no Shitage Manga de Kuro Akai, which I don't like to translate what that actually means. They just pay me for it. It meant that I wasn't actually able to translate stuff. Though, I mean, they do like the job that I do. I am very quick, and I can pick up on tone and intent. And that means that everything translates really nicely for readers, and less horrible, clunky dialogue. I mean, those of you who have read poorly translated stuff know what I'm talking about. But, no internet for the entire time. Power was limited. The food was crap, and so basically we're stuck in here, stuck with whatever we had on us, and it was like camping, except worse. It was like spending time with my pop-up over on his farm, except, oh, there we had him to talk to, and yeah. It was maddening. I mean, I don't get a lot of human contact as it is, but for prolonged periods of time when we can't even order a pizza or, like, have an instant movie streaming or whatever. I mean, I didn't even have access to torrents. I mean, stuff that I actually paid for. This was somewhat worse than hell. And I mean, I think I might have had a worse from what I've talked to so far. I mean, I basically got to hear my roommates doing it the entire time. And from what I heard, Misty had gone down to the planet as soon as the alarm started to go off. So she got to be on Earth the entire time, and she had no idea what was going on, neither did anyone else on Earth. And, yeah. Well, Paul actually had it worse. Apparently Nick was gone the entire time, and we've been searching, well, they've been searching for him so far, and, yeah. Paul and Kim and everyone else are looking for him. Last I heard, they were going out to Forest, and I hope they find him. And I mean, from what I heard, Wilfred had no idea how what was going on or how to control this, which is worrying because I mean he's supposed to control this entire ship. Yeah, I'm going to take a break from the food porn and finish my food, and then I'll get back uninterrupted. I could also probably go for a drink. Well, a better drink. I'll be back. Hold on. Apparently, eating food that has not been touched for a week is not always the... Okay, I don't... So... Paul, Wilfred, and Kim went over, and they found Nick passed out in the arboretum. And he'd been eating fruit the entire time. And I really didn't know what fruit they were bringing back. But if you can't tell what a fruit is supposed to be, and you came up with like a supply of apples and fruits and stuff, it is not a good sign. And so it turns out that Undergrowth has been using her powers somehow to make new fruit, which, I mean, normally she might be able to do that over months, but here she's been able to do massive changes within a month. I mean, and this is with limited lab resources, and like the control that she's showing is was showing. So Wilfred ended up calling me in to help out. He walks up to Undergrowth and he just starts browbeating her, and she's not responding. And blankly, she just asks what he wants, and he tells her that she has a week till she's booted from the ship. Which is weird because, I mean, Nick had been choosing to go out there and try and get his jollies off, and Undergrowth just calmly says, no. And Wilfred is trying to contain himself, so he puts his hand on her shoulder, trying to get something out of her, I guess. I mean, this is just eerie. She grabs his wrist and tries to move his arm, but instead her own arm explodes into splinters. And Wilfred just starts panicking. Because, I mean, this is not her. I mean, she was still flesh and blood last night. Well, she was not made of wood last time, we know. So me, John, and Paul, we just start to back up, and there's like eight more of them blocking the exit. They do this whole weird speaking as one thing, except it really didn't work well because I couldn't make out what they were saying. And I mean, it doesn't matter because I'm practically shitting myself at that time. Paul ends up running back to the room, like back in the room, trying to build up speed. His nostrils are flaring. His whole animal senses are acting up. He knows something bad is coming. His hair's on edge. He's on edge. And then John pulls out like a grenade gas canister thing. It's not my wheelhouse. And he throws it to the ground, and all of a sudden, brown smoke starts pouring out. And all the plants that are in the area start to die. Wilfred picks up me and John,
Paul is still trying to look for something, but eventually, like 10 seconds later, he can't find what he's looking for. He just runs out of the room looking defeated. And then this large, like, vine shoots up and starts twirling around, dissipating the plant-killing grenade gas into the air. And then it just got worse. Wilfred runs off to seal the door using the emergency button, which I'd honestly never noticed before. Well, the vine that had started spinning just starts pounding at the metal and the glass, trying to break it. And then Wilfred screams, "Get back!" and runs down another hallway. And, like, now there are hundreds of these vines just beating against the glass and the metal. And then we hear the countdown. The ship just unfurls from the Arboretum. Like, 1 second it's connected, it's like at the center of the entire ship. And then we unwrap like a shell from an, like a peel from an orange, and starts floating off, floating away, and then boosters start firing, and it's headed towards the sun. She'd been a person, and now we're apparently free to send her into the sun. I don't get why, or really the reason why this happened. I mean, was it because Nick kept going in there? Was it her messing with the plants? I mean, I'm really hoping that I get some answers. I mean, that's why I'm sharing this with you. And I mean, that still doesn't explain the quarantine. And my fears about what we're here for, what the long-term goal is just coming back. Anyways, after a while, Nick seemed to get better as the Arboretum drifted further and further away into space, and we have enough oxygen for a week or so. But I mean, we have to get an entire mile wide forest with trees in here before too long. And a new groundskeeper. And I mean, it's like undergrowth had her whole connection with plants, and it's hard to find someone else who has that ability. I mean, Chlorophyllis quit the stand. Quit for stand up, and after that war on plants, Water Hero pretty much threatened anyone with plant powers from coming into the ocean. I mean, he was just furious when he found out that seaweed was a plant and used water and helped water. But Water Hero is kind of insane and Scottish. He's not doing well. The alcoholism after the invasion, mixed with all that swimming underwater, it's hurting his brain. But yeah, I mean, now we need to get thousands of trees, plus vegetables, and I don't know how they're going to do it. And normally, I'd want to spend this time to answer questions. I mean, I know every week I've said that, pretty much, and we have yet to do it, but I want to use this to reflect on the life of Dr. Violet Patil, also known as Undergrowth. She was born somewhere in Indiana. To parents whose names I've pretty much been forced to keep private. In a city that will also go unnamed. She graduated from high school at the age of 17. And then followed her almost ironic love of flowers based on her name, the botany department at USCV over in California. There she was pioneer in the field of nanobotany, and that allowed her to really interface with plants on an almost cellular level, controlling them from seed to mulch, I guess. And what is a plant life cycle? From seed to seed maker? Eventually, fate took a hand and was like, I'm going to mess your face up. And a new version of the whole nanobotany solution infected her, placing the animal material within her with plants. And she ended up getting limited cyber plant interface control. And for whatever reason, she got called undergrowth and began trying to recreate extinct plant species based on the remains that she could find. Which, I mean, it's not bad, except that she was breaking into science labs and breaking the laws of humanity, and, well, she really didn't care about people anymore. Eventually, the government realized that jailing her would sort of be a waste of someone of her intelligence and abilities, and so within a month, she had helped them to make crops that could just grow year-round. It was like seasonal crops, so you get fresh corn in summer, spring, winter, and fall all across the country, which was fantastic. I mean, well, until those codes got copywritten and then people weren't allowed to use them unless they wanted to pay money because politics just messed up that way. And all that was really done under close government watch. And they tried to keep her name out of what she was doing, but she gained enough trust so that when the invasion happened, she had that whole bio cannon that she made, and that took out a part of the fleet. And then Wilford brought her on as the groundskeeper, I guess. And then I don't know what happened up here. Maybe it's solitude. Maybe it's just having a 12-year-old kid trying to see you naked all the time. But something in her snapped, I guess. Something that made her consider to be dangerous enough to have to rocket towards the sun. Dr. Patil, I really didn't know you. I didn't talk to you much, and I don't know, I just hope that whatever you believe in, whoever you believe in, if you still believe in anything, they might give you peace, or at least some sort of quick death. This is Radio Hope, and I am John Black, the reader. May all of you be with whoever comforts you. I'll try and see you next week. Hey, so that was another episode of Radio Hope and the Reader, and originally I was trying to work in some other episode to fill in time before blasting off undergrowth into space where she'll probably die. I mean, until I actually say, and the entire ship was consumed in the flames of the sun after traveling for 2,000 years. It really doesn't sound believable based on comic science. Yeah, this was more of a event-focused one. And I think it worked. Maybe I probably shouldn't have been eating in during the first part of the episode, but luckily I decided to cut down on that and then shift some parts around. Because normally when I do the scripts, I just start writing and it's all very stream of consciousness, and I edit it, break it up, usually trying for 5 to 10 minute chunks, depending. Here it didn't work out as well, but it was probably for the best. But yeah, we have lost our first character, and next week we will be introducing some more characters. And seriously, send in questions if you have any. Thank you for those of you who sent me feedback so far. And yeah, have a excellent day. And thank you again for listening. Pax.